Welcome to The Band Hall, a Young Band Directors of Texas podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Chelsea Frazier, and with me is Aaron Beaver, president of YBDT, a nonprofit organization for young band directors in Texas. We're here to talk about the ins and outs of teaching band, especially in the first few years of your career.
Today, we're looking back at 50 episodes of The Band Hall, and then talking classroom management strategies. Welcome to The Band Hall. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am good for April. How are you?
Good. We always like chat before this, and then we say hello again to each other. It's like we haven't been talking for an hour. So sorry, you guys. Actually, I do want to start. Let's start. Before we get into all of this, I have a public apology for Aaron Beaver.
Oh.
Okay. I have been slacking on my Duolingo.
Did you lose your streak?
I didn't lose my streak. Okay. But I have been paired up with Aaron for some friends quests. And I'm not going to lie, guys, he has totally carried the whole time. And I'd like to publicly apologize to you. I'm in a Duolingo slump, but I am keeping my streak. But I am currently doing the easiest lesson thing that I can possibly find every single day.
Oh, well, that's okay.
I apologize.
You know, you don't have to go, you know, stuff to the walls, you know, every single day. Like, it comes and goes in waves. Yeah, I see our friend's quest.
No. He's getting the receipt.
Our friend's quest was to earn 600 experience points together. Chelsea earned 91, and I earned 509.
I'm so sorry.
It's just fine, because I like to send you the experience boosts.
Oh, yeah, I send them right back.
Yes. So we can get those double XP.
That's right. Guys, this is so serious. I thought about this earlier today. I said I need to apologize to Aaron. Because he's been carrying. All right, I'll carry you on the next friend quest. How about that?
Please do.
All right, I'm on it. I'm going to get back on my game. So.
I just hit 800 days on Duolingo.
This is Duolingo King, everybody.
I'm trying, but I'm also considering seeking either a secondary or replacement language avenues. So if you have one that you think really works for, like, actually speaking Spanish,
Duolingo has
get with me.
Yeah, Duolingo, for me at least, has been good for, like, now I can, like, pick things up every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Like, it's more of a vocab thing.
Yeah, it's good at vocabulary. And yeah. It's good, I feel like, at teaching parts of speech.
Yeah.
Which is something that I definitely slacked on when I was in school learning Spanish and getting taught by the baseball coach.
Right.
So, you know, I have appreciated with that. I want to take it to the next level.
And, right. Hey, man, you have I'm not sure if days.
Maybe I'll get it to 1,000. I'll finish out the year and then see what happens.
Dude, this is exciting, everyone. This is why you tune into this podcast.
Yes. I'm glad we started a Duolingo podcast. Yeah.
Dude, how do we get Duolingo to sponsor a very niche band directors in Texas podcast?
They have Duolingo for music theory now.
Dude, so. They do. Have you tried it?
I have not.
I did the last lesson in it just to, you know, make sure I knew what I was talking about, and I passed everybody. So
There you go.
It's an interesting way that they do it. You'll have to check it out. Anyways.
All right.
Duolingo, we're your biggest fans. Reach out, girl.
We are.
Okay. Well, that has nothing to do with anything that we're talking about today.
Yeah. So
That was on me.
Last episode was our 50th episode, which is super exciting.
Congratulations.
We thought about doing a celebration kind of episode, but we felt like doing a UIL specific episode was a little more prescient, a little more time sensitive. So we decided that 51, we would look back at our 50 completed episodes.
Yes.
Kind of reminisce and, you know, look forward to the future.
For sure. This has been, it's been a couple years now, and we have 50 episodes, which for working band directors that, you know, have full-time jobs, and we do stuff outside, like I teach lessons. I mean, you're a high school band director. Like, good Lord, you have no time. But 50 episodes is something that I'm very proud of. And we have our stats pulled up. We'll share some fun things with you guys and kind of look at our last episodes and our favorites and maybe most popular, least popular. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
But it's been a huge journey. I had the idea for a podcast before I even became president of YBDT. I like messaged Amanda. So Amanda and I know each other from college. So we knew each other way before YBDT. And I remember like following the YBDT journey, like as she started it and all of this. And I had the idea. I was like, oh my God, YBDT should do a podcast at some point. What a cool thing that would be to like, for people to share their knowledge or just talk about bands, you know, and there have been band podcasts. I'm not saying that this is like the first one, obviously not, but just as a specific young band directors of Texas thing, I thought it'd be cool. And then, you know, the idea kind of went on the wayside and I decided to get involved and I became president and I just made it one of my projects to start with Amanda right in my first year of being president with YBDT. And then it's kind of taken off from there. We got Aaron in to be a guest. You were a guest like two or three times before you officially
came. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was.
Something like that.
I was looking at the rankings of the episodes and like, I think the first one I did was the controversial band opinions.
No,
the first one I did was the New Year's resolutions one.
Oh, yeah. That was the one where I said I was going to take down my Christmas tree.
Right.
And I didn't for like a whole other year. It's down now. I'll tell you guys.
Because it died?
Well, anyway, Christmas tree is another story. But yeah, I remember that one. That was the first one.
Yeah. And then shortly after, we did the controversial band opinions, which is still our most popular episode.
Dude, we should do another one of those.
We should.
Yeah, that was, you're right. It is our most popular, huh?
And then I was on again as a guest.
I said, bring him back.
I think, so 20, I think, was the last one I was on as a guest. And then right after that, I came on full time.
Yeah.
Right after TBA that year.
Yeah. And then I mean, it's been a long time that you and I have been doing this together. And I feel like it just, and you know, me and Amanda, we clicked, you know, perfectly at the beginning. And then Amanda had so many other things to do too with YBDT. And, you know, we brought Aaron in and you and I have clicked and it's been, I feel like, really good back and forth. Plus we have some opposite mm-hmm. experiences.
Yeah.
Which has been great. And yeah, and then you guys have been stuck with both of us ever since.
Yeah, and it's been so much fun. I have loved doing this podcast with you, and it's, you know, as a white man in America, it's
my God.
my dream has been to be on a podcast and have a podcast.
It's been fulfilled. So
thank you for helping me fulfill that. But
dude, that's so funny.
Truly, it's been so much fun, and I've. You know, I never take for granted the, you know, opportunity we get to talk about this stuff and hopefully help people and, you know,
at least entertain you guys for 5 minutes, you know. And,
yeah, maybe feel like, you know, some, you know, director that's, the, you know, the only director at their school, make them maybe feel like they have support. They're not alone and they have someone to reach out to. So I've really loved doing this.
I have really enjoyed it too. And, you know, I love that, you know, when Amanda and I first started it and, you know, you share the same sentiment, but we come on here like fully declaring that we do not know everything. or anything. I mean, it's just we come up here and just share our experiences and hope that you find something useful or entertaining or I'm definitely not going to do that. You know, whatever it is, but it's been so enjoyable. It is not something that I take lightly, and I just enjoy every episode that we do. So thank you for doing it with me, Aaron, and thank you to Amanda, of course, always, for the episodes that she's done too. And anyone that has come on as a guest or has written us comments or left reviews or anything like that, thank you guys so much. Seriously.
And to the people that have come up to us and said, "Hey, I listened to you." I'm like, "Oh my god,
that's
really
crazy."
that's always the craziest part, but it's the wildest thing. That's where I get the biggest like imposter syndrome.
Oh, totally.
They're like, "Hey, I listened to your podcast." I'm like, "Why?"
Someone listens? Someone?
Oh my god.
I remember the first episode. I was talking to my husband, and I was like, "Ryan, if 10 people listen to this, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, it's going to be so cool." And there's more than 10. And I love every single one of you. And it's not all just my husband that I know of. He could be just...
Well, my wife listens too, so it could be just those two.
Yeah, it could.
Hi, Morgan.
Hey guys. Hi. Love you both. It's just them, and they tell us, they decide how many, you know, listens each one should get. I love that. Well, let's look at like our past episodes and kind of like recap a little bit.
Yeah.
Are you on our thing?
I am.
Okay.
I think it's worth saying that we just recently passed 9,000 total plays on the podcast.
Yeah. We'll celebrate when we get to 10.
Heck yeah.
9,000 is huge though. And again, I keep going back, but like, this is such a niche thing that we do.
Right.
It's so wild that we get to share this with you guys. So I love that. Well, I want to start with, let's see, what has been like one of your favorite ones that we've done?
Oh, that's a great question. I love the beginner testing episode. I don't know if you remember that one.
Dude, I love beginner testing just in general.
Yeah. And now that we're kind of approaching that season again, it's probably a good time for people to revisit it and give us more listens and clicks.
Honestly, yeah. What number is that one?
That one is 37.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. Good. Beginner testing. Guys, I just love beginner testing so much. That is so fun. Mm-hmm. I really liked, where is it? I really liked, we just did it. Number 44, Brass Pedagogy.
Yes.
That one was fun.
Yes. That one, yeah. We got to really nerd out.
Yeah. We were like, okay, this is our wheelhouse. We know exactly what to say. Let's do it.
Yeah. And we only got to do like half or, you know, 2/3 of the stuff we're talking about. You might be looking at a part 2 pretty soon, wink, wink.
Spoiler. that one was really fun because we got to nerd out both of us, because it's just, we got high brass and low brass here, guys. Mm-hmm. We got the whole family. That one's really fun to do. The quintet draft was cute.
Yes, that one was fun.
One had like no... like usable knowledge in it at all.
Right. I would like to do another draft at some point. Okay. Maybe this summer we can do something fun. And I want to draft do a composer draft. Do like the music of Brian Bowmages or something. Mm-hmm. And like you have to like create a program with just his music or something like that. Maybe get one or two other people on.
I'm down. Oh my god, that would be fun.
Yeah,
that would be really fun. I'm down. I like the silly things. I like the like brass pedagogy. Obviously, mm-hmm. lots of important information. I think we did a great job on it. But then silly stuff like that, 100%.
Yeah.
Or like you were saying earlier, the controversial band opinions.
Uh huh.
we should do another one.
Do hot takes.
Sure, I've got more.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I have more. I might need to listen to it again to make sure I don't repeat myself.
Right.
But
I want to highlight a couple that we had guests on.
Oh, yeah.
And these are actually two that one of us was not here for. So the first one was the Halloween special, the spooky one that you did with. Who'd you do it with?
Who was that one with?
Cole. You did it with Cole.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all talked about scary things that kids do with their instruments.
We should, yeah, we could do that again, too. Just, yeah. that was a fun one.
Yeah.
That was a really fun one.
And then solo and ensemble that I did with Melinda Coleman, our current treasurer, who is a delight. I love Melinda. I hope she's listening. Hi, Melinda.
I know. We love you.
I loved that episode. It was a lot of fun talking about different ways we use like solo and ensemble, not like even outside of UIL.
Yeah.
To do cool stuff with.
Yeah, absolutely. At the beginning, we did a lot of like deeper subjects like conflict and imposter syndrome. We did that one with Taylor Gaskins. Uh-huh. There was another one I was just thinking of. Maybe it had a different, COVID-19. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe not so, advocacy. We had Robert Floyd on. That was a really cool one. Maybe not so lighthearted, but like important things. Maybe you don't need to listen to COVID-19 again, but. But the other ones were really cool, and they were had a lot of good information of just, timely topics or like important mental health stuff and, things like that. So, looking through, we have a good balance between silly and educational, if you will, and just informational, I guess, is the better word for it.
Yeah, for sure. We have two job hunting episodes that I think are both really good.
So yeah.
If you're on the hunt, check those out.
Our newest one is number 39.
Uh-huh. And then it's like number 8 or something like
that. Yeah, it was early on.
Yeah.
It was pretty early on. And then, of course, if you still are doing UIL at this time, good, bless you. But we have tons of UIL ones. We have like maybe 3 or 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
UIL. So lots of good ones. Lots of good ones.
Yeah, for sure. Right,
let's look at most popular. Let's see. Can you sort by most listens?
Episode. If you go to analytics and episode.
I see.
This is real how the sausage gets made stuff.
Controversial band opinions with Aaron Beaver, number 17. Wow.
That's the first one on there. Man, we need to spill the tea more often.
I know. We need to get more controversial, I guess.
I like it.
And of course, our first episode, which was about parents. That makes sense because it's like the first, and this the second episode, assistant directors. Those are the first two episodes we ever did.
Uh-huh.
So that makes sense to me if someone's checking out the podcast for the first time.
Yeah.
Now we have enough episodes that you can kind of start wherever. We don't have like deep lore. I think you could kind of start.
What if there was just like a through line through all of it?
Right. It's just, maybe we started today talking about our Duolingo streaks.
That's true.
If someone started on this episode, they would be very confused at the beginning.
That's true.
Or concerned, maybe would be better.
Right. We build our own lore.
Yeah.
I wasn't married when we first started doing the podcast together.
True.
Now I am. And so there's definitely, parts of the podcast where I'm talking about wedding planning or stress of all that.
Okay. So we have a little bit of lore.
Yeah. It's there. It's there.
Just a little bit. Let's see. The flute episode.
That one was a good one. Yeah.
Lauren Cavanaugh is incredible. I get to work with her every week, and I am so, so lucky. So shout out Lauren. You're probably not listening, but I love you. And it's so funny. We have a text thread, me and her and Cole, because we have to let her in. She comes from the high school first to us.
Uh-huh.
So we have to let her in. And it just says, I'm outside. I'm outside. I'm outside. Because we never answer back. That's all it says. If we go and let her in and we chat and, you know, whatever.
Love that.
Yeah. It's my favorite text thread that I have right now.
Beginning Beginners was a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the things we do when we first start the year with beginners.
That's a good one. Okay, I'm going to look at the least played.
Let's see.
Okay, well, they're recent episodes, so.
Right.
They just haven't, you know, they haven't had their time yet.
Right.
So everybody go, usually it takes people for us kind of listen whenever, which mm-hmm. is fine. Whenever. We upload whenever we're able to, so.
Right.
Like, it's fine. But it makes sense. Some of these make sense.
Uh-huh.
There's one, number 41, Welcome Back. That doesn't tell... We need a better title than that.
Right.
Nobody knows what we were talking about.
I think if we rename it, it'll get more plays. We can do that.
We can name it Controversial Band, even though it doesn't...
Red Herring episode.
Which, should we start clickbaiting?
Oh my gosh. Heck yeah. Why not?
Transitioning into and out of student teaching. I get that because it's so niche.
Yes.
It was a good episode, and I remember that, but it's so few people that go through that transition.
Uh-huh.
I get why that would be a lower played. Totally understand.
But, you know, and I even though they're, like, less played topics, I still think they're very worthy of discussing.
And they still have, you know, plenty of listens.
Right.
I was just waiting for, like, the last one to be, like, all about Chelsea. There's not an episode like that, but yeah, that makes sense though. And then the most recent ones, which makes sense to me.
Right.
Cool.
Of course.
I love looking at the top ones though. I love that the top one is the first one that you were on. That's hilarious. All right, let's look at our audience. I don't know how accurate this is. You think this is accurate?
I do think probably almost 100% is in the United States.
Do you think we have a listener in Ireland?
Probably not.
There
are two different cities in Ireland, Leinster and Munster.
Oh, you're right. Wait, there's three people from Ireland because it's 67%, 33%. No way.
It could also be people using their VPNs. And listening.
Oh, you're so right. I didn't even think about that. Now, you can do it by planet, too. I don't know if you've seen that. 100% are actually on Earth.
Oh, man. We really got to work on our outreach.
Yeah, it says we have Germany, Canada, Australia, United Kingdom. You're totally right. It's got to be VPNs. Like, there's probably not someone in Bulgaria that's listening to us.
Or Thailand.
No.
And if there is,
please message us. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
We want to meet you.
Yeah. Trip to Sweden to visit our one person in Sweden. That would be wild. That makes more sense now. What do you guys listen on? Apple Podcasts? All right.
Mostly.
Spotify. You're an Overcast girly, aren't you?
I am an Overcast girly.
So that 7% is you?
Could be.
Listening to our podcast? Or is that
Morgan? I download them. No, Morgan's an Apple girly. But I have not. I know.
I've never heard of CastBox. What is that?
I haven't either. The two people that listen on CastBox reach out. I don't know if it's any good.
And if you're on Other, I would also like to know what what you're listening to.
I'm not loyal, so I will switch to any good podcast platform.
Yeah, I'm on Spotify. That's what I do.
That's
yeah.
I hate the way Spotify like organizes podcasts. Mm-hmm. I can never find what I'm looking for without having to scroll all the way through.
You're not wrong. Looks like most of you are 23 to 27.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
That's our core demo.
That's our demo. And then 35 to 44. Guys, that's almost me. I'm about to, in December. Ooh. Well, it's not. It was like a year and a half away. But like, yeah, we're almost in a different demo.
We're in that 13% demo. Oof.
Yeah, we are.
But then
28 to 34.
I find it interesting that it hops up at 35 to 24.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I guess some head directors listening.
Yeah, making sure we're not spilling any tea.
Right.
Our 45 to 59 demo is healthy.
It is.
Shouts out.
Heck yeah.
But nobody over 60. So guys, if you could grab your 60 plus friends and give
just
them
just shove
podcast,
some headphones in their ears.
Yeah, I'd like that. Mostly men, but that kind of falls with band directing. I think.
The demo of the profession.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Let's get this more even.
Yeah, girlies.
Come on, ladies. Get in formation. Let's do it.
Have you heard Beyonce's album?
I was just about to ask, Cowboy Carter, anyone? Good? Yes, Cowboy I love Carter. It. It's good.
Okay, I'm going to be real. I don't like 16 Carriages. So when she first dropped that one before the album, I was like, I can't get into this one. Texas Hold'em has grown on me. And the rest of the album, I think, is pretty good.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's very, it's a lot to listen to. Like, it's very dense.
Yeah, and it's also a good top to bottom listen.
Uh huh.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, you can take them individually, of course, but she has all these fillers in there, and it's fun to listen to top to bottom.
Yeah, I'm pro. I like Cowboy Carter.
Yeah, me too.
Speaking of generational female talents and music, Taylor Swift's new album comes out this week. If you're listening to this when it drops.
Oh my God, guys.
So I am super excited for the Tortured Poets Department.
What day of the week is it dropping on?
I think it's Friday.
Okay, good. So I can stay up late. I mean, I'm an adult. I could anyway.
You can do whatever you want.
I can do whatever I want. But
you're grown.
Okay. Some of you, I'm sure, are finding this interesting. Some of you, maybe less so. But let's... Oh, I wish I could see who's subscribed.
Right.
I was about to transition out. Sorry. Then I saw impression sources on Spotify, and then I was looking at that. Search, Spotify Home, Spotify Library. But
you what other people are listening? Yeah. Oh.
Well, so like how they click on us, I guess?
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways. I'm sure some of you find this interesting. Some of you are like, okay, let's talk about classroom management, which we are going to, I promise.
Yes, for sure.
But sometimes looking back is just so much fun. I really would suggest you guys going back, finding something that is interesting to you. We've given you some of our favorite ones, and listening to some old episodes and see what you think. Now, if you go too far back, you know, production quality might go down a little bit. So...
Right.
I don't want to hear about it. All right.
And
keep it to yourself.
We've been, you know, tweaking and trying new things, you know, all the time. So hopefully that has caused an improvement in our audio quality and production and all that.
I hope so. And I really, this whole thing started with just like a silly idea, and we just did it out of nowhere, and we had no idea what we were doing, like truly no idea what we were doing. And every time we get a little bit better and a little bit better. And we've had episodes where we've had to dump them because some mishap. We've had weeks where we were like, guys, it is so busy. I cannot record. I'm just trying to balance everything. And, you know, it's just we do what we can with all of this. But with, you know, not knowing anything, I mean, we know a little now, but
yeah.
I would hope so. But kind of learning as we go, I feel like we've done a pretty decent job. I'm proud of us.
I agree. Yeah. And, you know, we're, I think, really good about giving each other grace in instances where we, you know, just can't record this week, or something comes up, or, you know, things are things are just not good. I don't want to, I just can't do it right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope that our listeners, you know, also give us that kind of grace. You know, they are also pin directors and they know, you know, how this life can be. So
absolutely.
I really, really appreciate that about the two of us and the community itself.
Me too. This, we would have, you know, 1,000 episodes if we didn't also have full-time jobs, but it's, you know, it's been so fun to do. And I just, yeah, it's, we have the best audience and the best, I've got the best co-host and.
Hey, so do I.
Hey, oh my God.
I feel weird.
Okay, so do you want to do like a hard transition into what we're talking about today?
Let's do it. Okay. Classroom management.
Okay, everybody turned off. All right. Let's go ahead. So we're going to talk about classroom management, and we've talked about this before, but I truly believe, and I think Aaron's in the same boat because we've talked about this, just me and him. I truly believe that classroom management is one of the most important things that you have to be able to do as a teacher of any kind. In classroom management, if you don't have that, you don't have anything else. You can't have solid rehearsals and talk about music and like all of this other, these other things, the brass pedagogy we were talking about, like the exercise, like we can't do any of that unless your classroom is in order. And,
well, and unfortunately, it's one of the things that they can't teach you in school.
That's true.
You know, it's, they can talk about what classroom management looks like, but until like you are in the situation in the classroom and actually practicing that classroom management, you know, it's all theory up to that point. And that's
totally different
from practice.
And whenever we talk about it in college, it's kind of like when you take the PPR. It's like, what is the most ideal situation with the most ideal kids? And it's a real life classroom management is very unpredictable. It can be very unpredictable because you don't know, every kid is going to react differently. So let's kind of talk about the top things that we know and kind of go from there. Do you want to give us a start?
Sure. I'll start by saying that I feel like this part of the year in the spring is probably the hardest part of the year as far as classroom management goes.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
very hard.
Your post-UIL, the testing and stuff is happening. Your school days are irregular probably a lot of the time. And so the kids don't have that consistency and that is the best time for them to act out and be bored and be restless. And so you just got to be prepared that it's going to be harder now than it has been leading up to this point in the year.
That's true. It's, you're totally right about inconsistent days or days that don't, days that don't look the same. Testing is crazy.
Yep.
We have the high school testing. I can't even imagine. Like we have 6 tests that we do. We have 2 for 7th and 4 for 8th, and then they do them all on separate days. And so kids crave continuity and they crave structure, but they will never admit it.
Right.
But they function the best with both of those things. So you take that away and then you sprinkle in a little like a carrot of summer coming up and everything goes out the window.
Yep. Well, and you know, in their core classes, you know, post, you know, star testing, they're a lot more relaxed in what they're doing. You know, some kids will claim that after they test that they don't learn anything else the rest of the year, which I know isn't true.
Right. But they definitely slow down. I mean,
yeah.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. And it's outside of the band halls is a lot different in the spring than, you know, leading up to testing. And in the band world, we're still working. Like we have our spring concert the Thursday before finals.
Yeah.
So like we're pushing all the way to the end, and it gets really hard to motivate these kids, you know. And there's always stuff going on, you know, track and tennis and all these spring sports are in full gear. And so, like, it's crazy.
It is crazy. I've said multiple times, multiple years, you know, I don't know what is going on in your other classes, but in here it's still band season. So we have to keep going. So you have spring concert. We have spring concert too. We also have our recording session that we do, but then we have auditions at the end of the year, which most people do. Like that, it goes to like almost exactly the last day of school.
Yeah.
It just doesn't stop.
Yep. And it's, yeah, there's, we could do a whole nother episode of trying to get things done in the last 2 weeks of school.
Oh, but, yeah. Good Lord. Just do it when you can, guys.
Right.
Just do it when you can. But yeah, so in my experience, the number one thing that people do that makes their classroom management successful or a complete disaster, and this is my opinion, is follow through. So I have seen millions of times different teachers say something and then they don't follow through with what they just said. And all that teaches the kid is that, oh, okay, I can get away with it, or it's not going to be that bad. Or, you know, they're just talking. It's not a big deal. Whatever. And on the flip side of that, whatever you say, you need to be ready to follow through.
Yeah.
You can't say something outlandish and then have to then feel like you can't follow through after that. So whatever, you know, if you do this, this is going to happen. And they do this. You need to make sure whatever you said happens every single time.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that boils down to kind of a trust thing with the kids. You know, they, if they trust that you're that you are going to keep your word, you know, at any time, then their behavior is going to be more predictable. And that comes down to consequences as well. You know, if you say, hey, you know, if we do well, I'm going to bring candy, follow through. If you say, hey, if you, you know, if you do that one more time, you're going to be, you know, cleaning out all the nasty tubas at the end of the year. You better be ready, like with a scrub, you know.
Honestly, yeah.
It's all about them trusting that you're actually going to, you know, be at your word. Yeah. And if you're not, then you also have to be honest about that.
It just, it truly, you can't just say things just to say things. And I see that in teachers, and I'm not even necessarily talking about band directors. I'm talking about any teacher, you know, see him in the hallway or whatever. I see that in teachers all the time. In the kids and junior high kids and high school kids, but they love to push the boundaries as far as they possibly can. And they will do that every time and push and push and push. Even the nice kids, they try and do things like in the morning, we don't have morning hangout in the band hall. Some people do, some people don't. We don't because there's a lot of things happening. But even like some of our top kids will come in and they'll take a little longer to put up their instrument, or you know what I mean? Things like that. And we just follow through every time. All right, guys, it's time for you to go to the gym or wherever they need to go. And it goes to that expectations thing that you hear all the time. This is just follow through with your expectations.
Yeah, for sure. The next thing I have on here is relationships. You will have much better results in your classroom management and behavior expectations if you have a good relationship with your students. If, and again, it's trust. That if the kid knows you, they trust that what you're saying and what you're doing is for the best, and they will, you know, adjust their behavior, or they will, you know, realize what they're doing is wrong, and it will get better. It'll be easier because they're not going to push back so hard, or it'll, when they push back, it will at least be good natured, you know?
Yeah.
As opposed to, no, screw you, man. Like, I do what I want, you know?
Yeah, it's no good.
No, it's like, if you know your kids, they're going to do better for you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty tough on my kids during rehearsal. I expect a lot out of them. And there are a couple in particular that I have to be on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But before and after rehearsal, I am over there. I'm talking to them. I'm saying, hey, you know, how is your soccer game? Like, what's going on with you? And so they know that anything I say on the podium is not a indictment on who I think they are as a person.
Right.
Or as a student.
Right.
You know, because I am investing in them outside of rehearsal so that in rehearsal we can have that kind of back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And it's a respect thing back and forth. If I respect the kids and I respect their time and I respect the kids that aren't, like, let's say someone is doing something that is not what is supposed to be done at that moment. You know, showing respect to the kids that are doing everything right. Like, if you show them respect, they're going to show you respect back. But I don't want this to come across to anyone as relationships are not the same thing as friendships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have good relationships with all of my kids, but it is still very clear that I am the director and I am the adult.
Right.
You know, if something happens and you know, like if you made a poor choice, that's on you, man. Like, you need to go, like talking about the kid, you need to do whatever it is to make that right again. Or, you know, like one of my favorite, why did I say favorite? That's not the word I meant at all. one of my non-negotiables at the beginning of the year. I don't know why the word favorite came up. One of my non-negotiables at the beginning of the year with beginners is you do not make a sound on your instrument, mm-hmm. accident or otherwise, unless we are doing it together, unless I specifically ask you to. And every year there is, you know, one or two kids, especially brass, they put it on their face and they blow air and then it accidentally goes, you know. And I tell them way beforehand, I said, if you do this, I will make you put up your instrument. And it could be for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the rest of class, depending on what time it is. There's just, this is the action and this is the reaction. And sometimes it's a kid that's just messing around. And sometimes it's, you know, a fantastic kid who has written all the notes and has, like, you know, makes eye contact. And it was truly a mistake, but you put it up anyway, because that's what we do.
Yeah. And they'll understand that, you know, there might be tears, but the next day it'll be like nothing happened. Yeah.
And the relationships also come into, like you were saying, the next day it's a clean slate again.
Mm-hmm. Cause they know that you care about them as a person, mm-hmm. and they understand the structure of the classroom,
yes.
and where they fit into it.
Absolutely. And it just gets built up over time. But yeah, follow through and have a relationship, like know your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Know your kids, respect your kids, and follow through with anything you say.
Yeah.
All right. This next one you wrote down, and I totally agree. Lean on your team.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a team with you, and I understand that some of you don't, and that's really, can be really challenging. And you do what you can, but there are always people that, maybe it's a team of other directors, maybe it's your fine arts team, maybe it's your admin team. But lean on who you can to help you in certain situations.
Yeah, 100%. My very first job, it was as a choir director. but I was the only director for the choir program. We had over 150 students in the program. And I would say at least half of them were dumped into the classes.
Yeah.
Because the school is overpopulated. They didn't have enough space in art class where they really wanted to be. And they just had to be in an elective. And you don't have to buy anything for choir. And so they dumped them in choir.
Yeah.
And it was challenging. Definitely learned a lot about classroom management from that. Some what not to do.
I'm sure. But we all make mistakes. It's all good.
Yeah.
Not talking to you, talking to everybody. Right. Like you're going to make mistakes.
You'll definitely learn how to not manage your classroom along the way to learning how to manage it. But I was super lucky to have a fine arts team that was very supportive. You know, we had orchestra next door and band across the hall, and we were all, you know, we were all there to help each other. We, you know, if there was an incident with a kid, like, you know, we each had chairs in the corner of the room where one of the other directors could bring their kid and sit them down for the rest of the class and remove them from the situation. And, you know, it's good to have those relationships with those people so that when you need to lean on them for classroom management situations, then it is a synergistic situation.
Yeah.
You know, thank you. And with admin as well, you know, have that trust with your admin team that when you ask them for something, you really do need it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're just sending the noisy kid that's picking their nose the whole rehearsal to the office every third day, then they're gonna be less inclined to, you know, come when you really need their support.
For sure. You know, you take care of things in-house as much as you possibly can. And you lean on your own skills, you lean on your team, you lean on, you know, parent contact, and that. And then when, you know, there are situations where it will have to be escalated, or if you need additional help, like, hey, could you come and watch and see if there's something that I can improve on? Like, whatever it is, your admin is there to help you as well. I work with, there's three of us, and I am the only female on staff. I'm the only woman on staff. And it truly sometimes we need another director to come in and say the same thing. There are some times where they will be dealing with a student and the student will respond differently to me than they will to one of the guys, and vice versa. They'll respond differently to them. And it could be a gender thing, whether or not that's right. A lot of times, especially in different kids' homes, they have different relationships with adults in their life, and they might just need to hear a male influence or a female influence, and we will lean on that. We give the kids what they need. Sometimes we'll bring in whoever was their beginner teacher last year, like if it's a seventh grader at the beginning of the school year. But at the same time, we all have relationships with every kid, but knowing the kid, knowing their situation, knowing what is happening in that moment, you just use your team to your advantage however you need to. Or maybe it's me and Aaron are working together and I need to, it's my band time and I need to talk to a certain kid. Aaron, would you go warm up my band for me real quick? I need to take care of this, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. So be flexible and be willing to.
And be there for each other.
Oh, absolutely.
That's just so important.
And you don't, before we get to this last thing, I do want to emphasize that you should watch other people and how they manage their classrooms, but also realize that no two teachers are going to be doing it the same way, because what works for you is not necessarily going to work for me, and vice versa, because it has to be a really genuine thing. So yeah. I've taken things from other people for sure, but then I have my Chelsea Frazier brand of classroom management, and Aaron has his, and you know what I mean? And if you're working with a team of people like we do, just make sure your expectations are the same. Mm-hmm. And then how you deal with it individually in your own classroom is you need to make it genuine to yourself.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
So the last thing I put I wrote talk your stuff.
We haven't had, okay, looking back, back to 50 episodes, we have not had to put the explicit warning on anything.
I think we should just do one episode. We just go all out.
And it's not because we necessarily avoid it. We just, I think we go into teacher mode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a podcast about a profession. So, yeah. You know, we want to come off as professional as possible most times.
Most of the time, yeah.
But, you know, talk your stuff. Your stuff.
Like sixth graders learning what that word is.
And what I mean by that is don't be afraid to call out the behavior.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's not always going to work for every kid. Mm-hmm. Part of the relationships aspect is knowing how each individual student responds to different methods of classroom management.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the time, if you call a kid out in the middle of class for what they're doing, it's going to work because 90% of the kids that are sitting in that ensemble want to continue. They want to be good. They want to have a good rehearsal. And so if there's something that's keeping that, it will, one, draw attention to that behavior and why it's bad. And two, it's going to get their peers to influence them more to have those correct behaviors.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about humiliating kids.
No.
I'm not going to, you know, call a kid out that I know is going to cry if I, like, say their name in the middle of class. Or I'm not going to actively make fun of, but I'm, you know, I will say, you know, Jordan, put your phone away. And everyone's going to be like, and then they'll be like, oh, God. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
And, you know, or, you know, stop whistling or, you know, dumb things like that. Usually
there's always dumb
things.
Yeah, they're kids at the end of the day. It's, you're always gonna have, like, nobody has this perfect classroom all the time. Even the best fans out there with the best kids, you still have behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're kids. Absolutely call it out. Don't let stuff slide.
Right. And if it's, you know, if it's a kid that needs to be corrected in private, then you need to be aware of that and do that. But most of the times, especially like, oh man, especially like eighth graders, like you can just like talk your talk with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll give it back sometimes, which, you know, is part of the give and take of it. You know, the banter is fun to have, but if you can use that to get them on your side and to, you know, behave correctly in class, then it's a tool that should be used.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you mentioned, like, there are some kids that are not going to respond well to being called out. That goes back to the relationships that you have with the kids. Knowing the kid, knowing how they respond, like just noting how they respond to certain things. All of that, it all goes back to the relationships, the follow through, making sure you have your expectations. And all of this is just to use it to your advantage. And it practice makes perfect, and you're going to make mistakes. We've all made mistakes, except Aaron.
Yeah, never. No.
Never. I've made plenty of mistakes. I promise. But, you know, and then you get your groove and then your kids know you. And if you're in a new situation, like a new school, it might take some time for them to understand where you're coming from and
how you operate as a teacher.
Absolutely. But practice makes perfect. We all know that. We're all musicians, like, you know, but you're going to get there. And if you have extremely hard situations, which you will, and you need to talk it out with people, talk it out with admin, talk it out with, you know, colleagues, talk it out with other directors, friends, teachers, I mean, whoever you need. And no two classroom situations are the same. That's what makes it so hard.
Yeah. for sure.
No.
But yeah, it's a hard thing, but it gets easier year after year.
It does.
And you get better at it. It's something, it's a skill, it's a muscle that you just have to develop and flex when you need to.
Yep, absolutely. All right. We've covered like two very different topics today already.
Yeah.
With a nice, beautiful transition in between.
I liked it.
No, it was fun. That was fun. Let's do our work-life balance recommendation.
Sure.
I'll let you go first. It looks like a plug.
It sort of is. So this is a perfect culmination of work and life balancing.
Love that.
And my plug is go to YBDT events. Yes. Last night, I went to the Central Region event that was here in San Antonio. It was all about recruitment and retention with students.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the Flying Saucer in San Antonio, which is a pub tavern kind of place.
Okay, can I just say, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go for it. No,
your
go.
Thing. So, Flying Saucer, are they all over Texas?
I think so. There's a lot.
Okay. I wasn't sure if they were or not. So I've been Flying Saucer a billion times because my husband has a plate.
Oh.
So in order to get a plate, if you've ever been to Flying Saucer, they have these like golden plates on the wall and the ceiling and stuff. Is yours new? Is it?
I had never been before. It's on a side of town I never go to.
So it's, I thought I had the plate for a second. They give you one for home and then one for, or it might be on the wall.
Okay.
Anyways, and then one for the restaurant. So if you go to Flying Saucer and over a period of time, you try so many different types of beers, they will give you like a plate. It's like literally a golden plate and they put it up on the wall and you can put like a saying and your name on it and whatever. Wow. And I want to say it's 200 beers to get a plate.
Wow.
Like 200 different beers. So they're constantly changing out like what they have. Oh, tons. Yeah. But here's the problem. I love Flying Saucer. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. Here's the problem though, is I don't like beer.
Right.
So, and I tasted every single one, I will have you know. So we keep joking that we're going to get a little teacup saucer, put my name on it. But Aaron, do you know how much money Flying Saucer has from me and Ryan?
A bunch. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot. So if you like beer, Flying Saucer is the place to be. If you don't, their pizza's pretty good. So.
Yeah. It was a cool place. I would go back.
Well, you're a beer guy. I get that.
I am. But anyways, it was a ton of fun.
That's a cool place for an event.
Yeah.
We're
outside. We chatted about, there was a guest speaker and he talked about the recruitment strategies they use at their school and, you know, retention stuff. And we kind of just chatted about what we do, challenges we're having with it. But it was in a relaxed environment. It was no pressure. And we, you know, had drinks, we had food. It was a great time. And I say that because I don't say it was a good time because I using this as my recommendation because it's very easy when stuff like this comes up to not go, you know?
Yeah.
We do so much stuff during the week. Thinking about doing another band thing on a Saturday is not, it doesn't sound fun.
Yeah.
But
I get that.
I guarantee that if you go to one of these regional events, you're going to have a good time. Mm-hmm. You might learn something, you know, you might take something away from somebody else's experience while you're talking shop. But you're going to feel more part of the community, you know, and not even just the YBDT community, the band community, you know, in your area.
Yeah.
I challenge people to kind of get out of that comfort zone of not wanting to go out on a Saturday for band stuff because it's not like going to your region meeting or something, you know? It's it's hanging out with people, cool people, because they're young band directors and part of YBDT. So they're automatic.
And Aaron was there.
I was there. Like, how? No,
I get it though. And a lot of times, especially when you're feeling overwhelmed, sometimes you just want to go onto your couch and rot.
Yeah.
And there is something to be said for that, you know, but you also go to, like, when I go out with my friends or other directors and or go to a YBDT event or something like that, I always come back saying, wow, I should do that more often, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to fight the entropy of
I get that.
Leaving home or making the plan to go to an event like this. But I think a lot of people would get a lot out of it. And it's a great way to meet other directors. It's a great way to, you know, go to a different part of town. Like, I don't ever go to the, you know, northwest side of town because I live on the far east side of San Antonio. So, like, I'm not about to drive half an hour to go to something I can get that's, you know, 10 minutes away from me.
Right.
But there's cool stuff over there, you know?
Next episode, he's going to have a plate on the wall.
Right. Yep. Give me 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I can knock out 200 beers.
I'm on it.
Don't give me a challenge.
You would love him. You would love him. I was going to say there's some nasty beers, but I think they're always some
nasty beers.
There's some good ones, I guess.
But I think that these events that our regional team puts on are so important. And I really want to challenge you to go when they're in your area, because they're all over the state, you know. You know, hopefully there's one close enough to you that you don't feel like you have to go super out of your way. But there was someone there last night that drove an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
To go to the event. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. But it's something I really hope grows more as we continue with YBDT.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great one.
Your turn.
Mine is be a fangirl. Mm-hmm. I think that, I don't know how to say this, but like, I've had so much fun recently just being a fangirl of my favorite things. Like, just unabashedly just loving and obsessing over whatever, whoever, you know what I mean? So for example, today, and I need to show this to Aaron because he's a fangirl, but I got a new planner for the next year.
Oh.
And it is a Taylor Swift coded planner. It's called the Mastermind Planner.
Oh, I love it.
And it's, I'll have to show it to you. It has like, the number one thing for me is the layout has to work on a planner. And I use paper planners that just works for my brain, you know, whatever. And I saw this one and I liked the layout. And then there's like Taylor Swift quotes, lyrics on every page. There's like one of the things on each day is in one All Too Well 10 minute version, Taylor's version, I can do blah, blah. And you like put what you can do. And it's so fun. And I like all my sweatshirts that I buy now are from concerts or are like, I don't know, just things that I'm obsessing over. Like, I don't know. I'm wearing a Disney one right now, but there are so many, like, I've been listening to a lot of Sabrina Carpenter lately. I'm obsessed with her. I'm obsessed. Everybody's calling her like a princess pop star, 100%. And I just listened to the same album over and over and over again. And I think some people would be like, dude, listen to new music. No, I'm obsessed and shut up. I love it. And I'm just having the best time just fangirling over different things. Fangirling over different books that I like. And just being obsessed just with things that I like. I don't know.
That's great. No, I love that. Love what you love, and it's always fun to dig deep into something like that.
So plus, I love seeing when people post like on socials of things that they are loving. Like, what's an example? Oh, like Amanda, when she does like dance classes.
Yeah.
And she'll post like her, and it's not necessarily like I'm not a dance girly. That's not necessarily my thing, but she's having so much fun.
Yes.
That I love watching them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I love the things that I love. Guys, I'm saying this terribly. I love the things that I love, but I also love seeing other people and what they're obsessed with at mm-hmm. the same time. So my recommendation is just be a fangirl. Let everybody know. Don't be ashamed of anything, no matter what it is, and just go all out because it's way more fun this way.
Heck yeah. I love that.
I hope that made sense. But
be unabashed about it.
Yes, that's a better way of saying
it. That's awesome.
I love it. All right.
Cool. Well, we have nothing specific to plug right now. Just keep your eye out for new events and new things coming to you from YBDT. So
it's the end of the school year. We're all busy.
Yep.
To begin with.
True. All right. Well, thanks for potting with me, Chelsea. This was a great time.
As always, super fun.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is The Band Hall, a YBDT podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at YoungBandDirectorsTX and find more information about joining YBDT at our website, ybdt.org.
Until next time.